Welcome to Ski Cap, Hoodie, and Shorts. Episode 20, Stories and Recipes. Feijoada, Brazilian Stew. Hey everyone, welcome to Ski Cap, Hoodie, and Shorts. My name is Ted Samaras, and thank you for joining me today for another Stories and Recipes episode. And today we are going to be talking about feijoada, which is a Brazilian stew and is also known as the national dish of Brazil. Well, it's January, and with the new year upon us, I've been a little more reflective than usual. You know, just as I'm sure many of you have, there is the feeling of renewal that the new year always seems to bring, even if it's just for a short time after the ball drop here in the New York City area. And there's also the realization of how small we all are in the universe on this lonely pale blue dot we call home as we look at the pictures from Orion and from the Artemis mission. Since it is January, it also means that it is cold for many of us. However, that doesn't mean it is for all of us. Too often, though, we talk about the Northern Hemisphere or the Western Hemisphere, depending on who we are ignoring at the time. I remember back in December of 2016, my son was flying to Brazil to spend a week with his travel team playing soccer or football, depending on how you want to call it, over at the Vasco da Gama Academy, where they would play other clubs like Fluminense, Flamengo, etc., if you are familiar with Brazilian soccer. Vasco is one of the big clubs in Brazil and is named after the Portuguese explorer Vasco da Gama, who landed in Brazil under the flag of Portugal. He has the landmarks named after him down there, including one of the largest bridges in the country. When my son flew down there, this was also a month after the air tragedy, where the team from Chapecoense was involved in a plane crash and almost all of the team members and coaches perished. And so I remember this time very distinctly, I guess because of all of the events that were not only occurring on my son's trip and how different of a trip was for him, but also from the nature of everything that was going on in Brazil at the time. Another thing that definitely stood out for me and again makes me think about, you know, how sometimes we think about our own little portion of the world instead of maybe thinking more globally, is that waking up early that morning while he was flying down there, I woke up early to go to work. We had dropped him off the night before out at Kennedy Airport. And so, you know, the flight from the, you know, the top of the globe to the bottom of the globe takes some time. And so as I was going to work the following morning, you know, he was just about to land in Sao Paulo and then with his connector out to Rio de Janeiro. And so when I looked at the temperature in my car, when I hopped in back here in New Jersey, it said it was 12 degrees Fahrenheit, or for conversion, it was negative 11 degrees Celsius. I remember thinking how cold it was, right? And then while warming my car and as my son was getting ready to land, I checked the temperature in Rio. And at that time, and Brazil's 2 hours ahead of us, time-wise, generally speaking, it was 96 degrees Fahrenheit, or 35.5 degrees Celsius. So on two different points of the planet, in the same Western Hemisphere, albeit me in the northern and him down in the southern, we had a 45 degrees Celsius temperature difference, or like an 84, 85 degree Fahrenheit difference. And I realized just how big and different the world was just at the same time as I was realizing, like, you know, how small we really are, you know, in terms of just how different different parts of the world interact and how different things are. And when we don't take the time to consider it, we can kind of get locked up into our own thoughts and our own experiences. which I know many of us too often ignore. And a lot of times it's not on purpose. We just get busy with our own lives. So with that as the backdrop for this and, you know, wanting to celebrate, you know, different cultures. And plus, you know, I am cold in January, so I want to have a good hearty stew to kind of warm me up and think about Brazil at the same time. I wanted to talk about a famous dish, maybe Brazilian's national dish, that I learned about while my son was literally on the other side of the earth from me. And that dish is feijoada. Feijoada. So what exactly is feijoada? It's widely regarded as the national dish of Brazil. It is a popular dish used to celebrate events or just have the family gather around for a family dinner. Sometimes it will simmer all day long and people will just keep grabbing from the pot, watching the games or the events of the day. So what is it exactly? It's a great black bean stew that can be done both with meat and also vegan. For those of you in the States, think of it as a variation of like a chili. Recipes vary slightly depending on the region, but the key is the black bean base. So to start your dish off, especially if you're planning to use meat, I would get that going first. Using pork shoulder and braising it to break it down to get it tender, low and slow, is one way you can add the meat so it all falls off the bone and it's really tender. You can also use some diced pork belly or bacon. I'd probably recommend a thick cut just so it could kind of cook down a little bit and render a little bit more. You can always use like a crispier, thinner bacon on top, like just to kind of sprinkle on after. But the idea of the meat here is that you not only want that meat, but you also want to render down that fat that comes with it. And you want that pork fat flavor permeating throughout the whole stew. Once the meat is rendered, you can remove the meat and let it rest on the side, but leave the pork fat in the pot as we're going to use this to cook the dish in. If you're going with the vegan version of this, you can now pick up from here now that we've spent a little time talking about the meat. If you need to or feel like you want to, you can certainly add TVP to this for your taste, or if you want to add some sliced or diced sauteed portobello mushroom for the chew. You can feel free to do that. But in my experimenting with this dish and having had this dish a few times, I didn't really feel like I needed either the TVP or the mushroom. But again, feel like you can add it if you'd like to. Okay, so now that I've got the pot either with pork fat, you know, all rendered down, or if I'm going to do this like the vegan style, I'm going to add a little bit of olive oil just to kind of, you know, heat up in the pot to break down the vegetables. What I would do is I would start chopping my veggies here. I would dice up some red and green peppers. I wouldn't use a ton here because, again, you want the black bean to stand out. I would also dice up some onion, and I would dice up a little bit of garlic. And so what I would do is I would put a little olive oil at the bottom and I might start to add some spices just to kind of flavor the oil a little bit, like a little hot pepper flake, a little bit of black pepper and a little bit of salt, all to taste. And then I would add my vegetables in, but I caution you here. I would like to see you use maybe half the vegetables now and then save the other half of the vegetables for about 5 to 10 minutes later. The reason why I say that is because you want that first half of the vegetables to really kind of break down and get really soft, because they are going to work more to kind of permeate and make the stew richer and kind of really flavor the black bean, but they're going to lose all their integrity. You may not recognize the onion or the pepper or the garlic. So that would be what the second half of the vegetables are for. So the first half are going to be your sacrificial ones that you're going to cook now, and the second half of the vegetables would be what you would add in 5 to 10 minutes. And that trick I learned from Chef Kevin Belton, who I happened to be watching on Create. No, I didn't get to cook with him in real life, although I'd love to. But he's a Louisiana cook, and I notice a lot of times he will break up his vegetables or he'll break up his shrimp if he's doing like a shrimp dish. And he'll use the first part just to kind of really flavor everything and really break it down and then still have some remaining so that this way it's recognizable in the dish. So once you've put these vegetables in there to, or half your vegetables in there to break down, along with the spices and the olive oil or the pork fat, I also want you to add, you know, two bay leaves to the dish. And just remember that you put two bay leaves in because you don't want to eat the bay leaves and you'd prefer not to serve the bay leaves. If you can help them, you want to take them out before you serve the dish. So just kind of remember that you put them in there. So once this half of the vegetables has broken down and your spices and your oil and everything, you know, have come together, right? You know, you want to lower the flame. You know, you're definitely kind of cooking this low and slow, but you want to lower it a little bit even more because you certainly don't want to scorch these vegetables. And what I would do is I would add a couple of teaspoons of white vinegar here to help deglaze the pot that you're using, because you really want to pick up those flavors that are starting to kind of like maybe attach themselves to the bottom. And so the vinegar will help bring them up. At this point too, what I would do is I would add my black beans in, and it's a good amount of black beans, you know, depending on how many people you're feeding, I'll leave that up to you. And you're going to add the other half of the vegetables that you diced earlier, and you're going to bring this to a slow simmer and you're going to have it covered, stirring occasionally. My advice to you is you want to use canned black beans. And I know for some of you that's going to be sacrilegious that I'm telling you to use canned beans. But unless you want to spend the time soaking the beans the night before, boiling the beans, making sure that you've sorted out what's a bean and what's a pebble, and having, you know, maybe or maybe not bitten into a pebble before, doing that whole process, it will save you a lot of time and a lot of energy to use the black beans from the can. So that would be my advice to you here. You know, but again, that will be completely up to you. Remember too that if you are using meat in this dish, now that it's rested, now would be a good time to kind of break it up. You can tear that pork shoulder up or whatever you diced up, and you can add it back in so they can recook with the beans and the veggies. So occasionally, you know, you want to get in there, you want to stir it, just make sure you're getting to the bottom so that this way nothing's burning at the bottom of the pan. But you are most of the time just letting this simmer, leaving it covered, that type of thing. If it looks like it's becoming a little too thick for you, you can add a little water. And then if it needs to get thick later on, you can always leave the cover off for the last couple of minutes of cooking. It's up to you how you deal with the evaporation, you know, of the water. But again, you want to make sure that you cook this enough where everything is kind of blended together, but you don't want to cook it to where it is a big pile of mush. You're not making a bean dip. You're not making an oatmeal. So you want to cook it to where maybe some of those beans are just starting to break up, but you can definitely recognize the black beans. You can definitely recognize the second half of the vegetables that you have there. And again, because you're using the canned beans, right, you're not having to leave it on the pot as long to simmer because at this point, everything is pretty much cooked. So with a couple of minutes left to go in the cooking, what I would do is I would add a splash of orange juice. Yes, I said orange juice, and you'll see why in a second, while the beans are cooking, as this will add a depth of flavor you're looking for. And again, you're not, you know, you're not serving a glass of orange juice for breakfast here. You are just splashing this with orange juice so you know that it's there, and so the beans know that it's there. And so it's just kind of bringing that little bit of essence of orange to it. Now, once you're done cooking, you're going to let the stew come to a rest and you're going to leave it covered until serving. To plate this, first remember that you want to get rid of those two bay leaves that you put in there before. Just so this way, if anybody's not aware of it, they don't spoon it up and they bite on it and it becomes a whole ordeal for all the cooking that you've done. So once the bay leaves are out, what I would do is I would ladle out a couple of large spoons of the stew into a bowl. And then on this bowl, right, especially like if you have more of a like a wider mouth bowl, that's great, but any bowl will work. What I would do is I would add like maybe like a scoop, so like maybe like a half a cup or a cup of white rice, or you can use brown rice if you prefer, but the dish is usually served with white rice, right, and kind of shape it like a mound, like off to the side with the black beans. Okay. And also, this is a nice way. I've seen this dish served a lot of times this way, and this is the way I've had it, where you add greens to it. So I would use some blanched kale. If you don't have kale, you can always use dandelions. You can always use collards. You can always use turnip greens. You can always use stuff like that. But for me, I prefer the kale because it's something that I could eat without having it overcooked. And so for me, I'm going to blanch the kale. And so what that means is I'm going to get in it. You know, I'm going to have basically have boiling water. I'm going to throw the kale in the boiling water in a separate pot. I'm going to let it cook a couple of minutes. And then what I'm going to do is I am going to basically empty out that kale into some ice water. So this way I shock it so that this way I've softened the kale to where it's a little more digestible, but I'm keeping the color, I'm keeping the vitamins, and I'm keeping some of the crunch. Anyway, once I've prepared my kale, I am also putting this in another section of the bowl just over top of the black beans. And then just to add some color, flavor, and some brightness to this dish, I like to add a slice of orange. And I've seen this done. It seems like it's done all the time in this dish. So this way, it kind of helps brings all the dish together. And this is why I recommended putting that splash of orange juice in before, because the orange juice, you're going to sense that you have been kind of, sort of having that essence of orange, but now you're getting the brightness of like a true orange here. All right. And again, you know, with this dish, it's going to be not only a feast for your eyes, nose, and mouth, but it's also going to be a feast for your stomach, and it's going to let you feel global all at the same time. So I hope you've enjoyed this recipe of feijoada. And as always, you know, I really hope that I've kind of given you like another flavor to try. You know, again, it's nice to think about and try some of these global flavors. And the National Dish of Brazil in January is a great way to go. As always, because this is a stories and recipes episode, in the words of my dad, God bless America. And in this case, Brazil, too. Let's eat. So again, I hope you've enjoyed listening to the story behind and the recipe for the feijoada, the great Brazilian national dish. I hope you enjoy it. I hope you really try it out. For those of you who have had it before and maybe have a variation of it, I'd love to hear about it. I'd also love to hear how you make out if you try this version of it. Remember, too, we are just, you know, trying to all kind of connect here, and I'd love to get... you know, get your opinions on this. So as always, I do, you know, recommend your, or, you know, welcome your feedback and your recommendations. And so you can always reach out to me via the website at www.skicaphoodieandshorts.com. You can reach out to my email, which is skicaphoodieandshorts@gmail.com. Or if you'd like to reach out to me on Twitter, you can reach out directly to me at Our Tech Coach. As always, thank you for your time today and for listening to the Ski Cap Hoodie and Shorts podcast. Please remember to be good to yourself and be yourself.